Mark 16, verse 15. And last Sunday was the resurrection, and we celebrated that. And then this is Mark's depiction. He's writing for Peter. He's taking Peter's writings, and he's writing them down here, and he kind of gives what Peter was telling him. Now, Mark doesn't give us every little detail. Mark kind of just takes and he lays out some the broad picture. And he's talking here about when Jesus goes back to his Father beforehand, and he lays it out here, and this is what he says. And he says to them, Jesus is kind of giving them a command. This is a command. It's not an option. This is something for us as followers of Jesus. What it looks like for you, what it looks like for me, what it looks like for Corey, what it looks like for each one of us is going to be a little different, but the command is still the same. There's two parts to this command. One is the word go. That's a command. Go. Go into all the world. And then the second part to the command is do what? Preach, right? Well, I know some of you are saying, I'm not getting up front here and preaching. Right? I mean, some of you might want to do that someday. Some of you may say, no, I'm not going to get up in front of somebody and preach. Jesus wasn't saying you had to stand in front of a church like this to preach or to stand in front of someone else. Jesus was saying, go and proclaim or tell about the good news, right? And what is the good news? Come on now. This is basic information for us as followers. What is the good news? Died, buried, and rose again, right? That's the good news. Well, I'm going to throw something else in here to the good news this morning that God kind of just convicted my heart last night. There is much more to the good news than just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And I want you to look at your neighbor sitting beside you. Just turn your head to someone sitting beside you. You see anybody sitting beside you? I mean, I know sometimes it's hard for, you know, spouses to look at each other, or, you know, if you had a rough morning getting ready for church, but or your friends, you just got mad. But look at the person sitting beside you for a minute, because there is the power of the good news or the gospel. That's what I want us to get this morning. I want us to get that the person sitting beside you, or the person on the street, or your coworker at work, or the person in the hospital that you go to see, that person has the potential to be the power of the good news or the gospel. And I say potential because not everybody will accept Jesus. We know that. You can share your message. You can share what Jesus has done for us on the cross, the burial and resurrection, Jesus coming, but not everybody will accept that gift. Some people will reject it. And that's where I want to go this morning. You know, when you think of a command, there's something behind the command that compels you to obey it. How many of you here remember when the seatbelt law went into play? How many of you loved that law? What, one person? Okay. Two people? How many of you grumbled and complained? My goodness, the government is trying to take control of my... I remember that. I was probably one of them. I was real young, but I remember that when the seatbelt law went into play. Now, how many of you wear your seatbelts today? Everybody wears their seatbelts today. Why? There's all kinds of answers that could be why. It's a command from the authorities, and you either wear it because you have recognized statistics on how that if you wear a seatbelt and you get in a car accident, you're going to be saved, or you wear it because you know if the police officer sees you without it, you're going to get a ticket, and that fine. Some of you are saying, yep, that's why I wear it. Something compels you to obey that law. There is something that must compel us to obey this command. And it can be the power of what Jesus did in defeating death on the cross. It can be by raising from the dead. It can be that, or it could be something else that becomes a part of you. And that's what I want us to grasp. You know, when you think about those commands that Jesus gives, and he gave quite a few commands to his disciples. Last week, and you can throw that other verse up there, Lynn preached, and he used this verse, Revelation 12:11. It says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus, the death on the cross, and the word of their testimony. They did not value their lives so much as to shrink from death. Now, in the youth Sunday school class today, did you guys talk about your Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You did. Were they afraid to go to the fiery furnace? They weren't afraid to go to the fiery furnace. And they didn't have Jesus. They didn't have Jesus. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not have Jesus. Jesus hadn't come. And why in the world would they say to King Nebuchadnezzar, I'm sorry, but we are going to follow our God and obey his commands, even if it cost us our life? That is the power, part of the power of the gospel or the good news. That is what compels us. It is that we value what God says over our own lives. We value his command. If he says go, then we go. It's not an option. It's not a negotiable. Well, God, I don't know. I can't speak. I'm not used to getting up in front of people. That's fine. You don't have to get up in front of people. You have your neighbor, someone you are close to, your friend, your family member, where to go. The call is to go, to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to use two stories here this morning. One to paint a picture of a warning in the Old Testament, and one where a man wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus said, no, you may not follow me. To paint the picture of how it is important to obey what God tells us to do. And in Mark chapter 5, we have this story. Now, this story has a lot of, I didn't put the verses up there because I wanted to read it because I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But I want to point out what Jesus does here. So they arrived on the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed with an evil spirit came from the cemetery out to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained even with a chain. Even when he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves or in the graveyards and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus still was some distance away, the man saw him and he ran to meet him, bowed low before him, and with a shriek he screamed, why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of the man, you evil spirit. Then Jesus demanded, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man. Now, Legion means 6,000. 6,000 soldiers made up a legion. I don't know if that's what this man had inside him, 6,000 demons, but you get the picture of a person, a man who was literally broken and in utter control of these demons, okay? And I can tell you stories afterwards of things that have taken place in prison that back up these stories, where men in our life, our present day, actually broke chains, made envelopes stand up on tables, things like that. Okay, so it is real. That's not what I want you to focus on this morning. Then the evil spirits begged him again to send him into a distant place. And you know, I'm not going to read the rest of them here. But Jesus takes and he casts out these demons and they go and they run. The town people said, we don't want you, Jesus. Get out of here. Okay? This man, however, in verse 19, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed, or legion, begged to go with him. He asked, Jesus, I want to come with you. I want to follow you. I want to do what, I want to be right with you all the time. Okay, don't you want to be with Jesus? I do. I would too. If Jesus was here walking the streets, I would want to be with Jesus. And Jesus says to him, no. Go. Verse 19. Go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. You see, Jesus had already known. Jesus was here walking. He is God's son, right? So he would know what's on the heart of God, his Father. And he knew that in order for this man to continue to overcome Satan, he had to go. That's the word of his testimony. He had to share his testimony of what Jesus had done in his life. So he tells this man, no, you go. That's how you overcome. And so the man goes, and it's called the 10 cities. There's 10 towns, that's the name of the area. And so he goes amongst them, and all the people begin to marvel and wonder at what in the world had happened. Because they would have known about this man. I mean, believe me, we would know of someone in this area that had 6,000 or thousands of demons in them. We would hear, if I'd have heard about that. These people would have heard. Well, that's the story. That's number one story. There's another story, though, that is a sad part. And when people don't obey God's command. Because God gets his work done whether we want to obey him or not. And I want to use this story here to give us a warning as a church that if we don't obey God's command to go, God will get his work done. And this is found in the Old Testament. This one's in Genesis 8. Noah, his family was on the ark for almost a year, and they come off the ark, and as they're getting ready to go off the ark, God speaks to Noah, and he says again, he uses the word go. And he says, go and be fruitful and replenish and fill the earth. He told Noah's family, go. And when you get into creation of Christ class, when you get to, I don't know, what, lesson 13 or 14, you're going to talk about this story. Noah's family grows, they're growing, and you can read the chapters of the genealogies there. I don't know how many people are on the face of the earth at this time, but from where Noah's ark landed, they went about 500 miles, and they stopped. So 500 miles isn't even from here, what, to Pittsburgh, maybe a little further than Pittsburgh, Ohio. That's about as far as that people had migrated or left from where the ark was. And they uttered these words in Genesis 11. And if you have your Bibles and you wanted to turn to Genesis 11, you could underline the verse in there. But it says this. And I would, and the reason I say underline it, because it's words to us as a church that when we live like these people lived then and make words and make things and do things for ourselves, God is going to come in and he will do his work because he's commanded. And when he commands, he is very consistent and he is very non-changing in what he says. So if he says you do this and you don't do it, and he says this, if you do this and you have consequences, that's what the consequences are. We know that. That's why we have death today, because he said, hey, to Adam and Eve in the garden, you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And they ate of the tree and they died. We die. God's word, you can take it to the bank every time. Then they said, these are the words they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top into the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. They had forgot what God had commanded them to do. They had found a place. And by the way, this place is in Babylon. It's where Iraq and Iran is right now. In that area, that's where they were at. To kind of give you a place where they were located. The phrase, let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. It wasn't about, well, what has God done for us and the obeying God's command? It was, oh, let's see what we can do for ourselves. That command they had forgotten to go and be fruitful and replenish the earth. And God and says that God came down and he walked among them. And he saw that in their hearts and in their minds and what they were doing. He said, there is nothing that's going to stop them. Think about that today. In America, we tell all our kids growing up, you got a dream, you can do it. All you have to do is put a little hard work in and you can accomplish anything in your life. You can become the richest person in the world if you put yourself out there. You can do whatever you set your mind to in America. Kind of sounds like these people. Let's build a tower. Let's build it all the way up to the highest of heavens. We're going to attain to God. Same thing Satan did when he said, I will attain to who God is. I will. God is consistent in his commands. And since he is consistent with not only these people here at this time in history, but also us today, here's what he says. God came in and he says, well, you didn't obey what I said to do and go and be fruitful. You set yourself up here. I will split you up. And he calls, and it's where we call the Tower of Babel. He split them up. Gave them all kinds of languages. You heard my sister Corey say one of the languages today from China. Recognizes one of the oldest languages in the world. Spoke, right? He split them up, and they had to go all over the place. When you read the command what Jesus gave his disciples to go and make disciples, in Matthew 28, Mark 16, there's the same, go out into the world and preach everywhere, telling everyone about me and the good news. Behind that is our testimony. What has Jesus done for you? What has Jesus done for me? That is the call for us as followers of Jesus. In Mark 16, it doesn't end there. And this is to help us if you're afraid. How many of you are afraid of going up to somebody and telling them about Jesus? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand to that. I will raise my hand and say that it is not an easy thing to do just to walk up to a strange person and engage them in a conversation and hopefully lead you where you can share Jesus with them. It's not an easy thing. And it gives us a little bit sometimes, I don't know what words to say or how am I going to go about it. Well, I want to offer you some words of comfort here this morning. And worship team, you can come on up. And while they're coming up here, I'm going to share with these words to you. They're words from Jesus. They're words of what takes place. And they're found, and you can put the slide, verse 20 up there. And it says this, then the disciples, after they heard what Jesus had said, Jesus went up to heaven. He was taken up into the clouds, and he's sitting next to his Father, verse 19. And then it says this, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And this is another spot you can underline in your Bible. And it says, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. What are those signs? Verses prior to that say this, and these signs will accompany those who believe. That's you and I. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak in new tongues. Those are signs. The word tongues there means other languages. There'd be another translation. They would say other languages, and you will speak in other languages. Then they will pick up serpents with their hands. I think of the story of Paul, where he was on the island after a storm, and a serpent jumped out of the fire at him and bit him in his hand. And everybody thought he was going to die. And he didn't die. He lived. And if they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. These are signs that are supposed to accompany followers of Jesus or those who believe. Now, I know you might be sitting there saying, well, I don't know that I've ever seen someone have a demon kicked out of them right in front of me. I've never seen someone who was completely sick healed dramatically in front of me when they laid hands on them. But we've seen that in this church. We've laid hands, we've prayed, for people, and they've been healed. These are signs that will accompany those who believe. But not only those who believe, but those who what? Go. Because the belief that's within inside of us, those of you who are going through the faith class today, powerful, powerful class. Jesus accompanies and is with us when we go. It's a charge, it's a command from God to go. So this morning, as we sing, as we close out this service this morning, if the church doesn't go, God is forced. God will be forced to do something. And it will bring pain to his church. Because God is consistent all the way through his over the history of this world. He is consistent in what he says. And when he says to go and do something, if the church refuses to do that, he is going to be forced to act. So I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't like pain. So I'd be better off to just go and not have to experience some of that. But that is part of God and his character. It's part of who he is. So this morning, stand with us as we're going to sing. I don't know what song you got to sing and close us out, David, but I would like to pray for us as a church. Not to pray that, okay, God's, well, maybe this would be kind of a cool prayer. It'd be really cool to if everybody here just left because God says to go. But I would like to pray for us as a church, not so much for, okay, that God would lay on your heart to go to all over the world. If that God lays it on your heart to do that, praise the Lord. I'm going to support you in every way I can. Through prayer, finances, whatever. But if God chooses to lay somebody on your heart, your neighbor, your family member, to go and proclaim what Jesus has done for you, the good news, the gospel, that's what he's done. So I'd like to pray. Just let's bow our heads here this morning and let's just come before God. Father, I'm going to come before you now. You said to come with boldness, that I can enter your throne and receive grace and mercy. And that's what I'm asking for this morning for us as a church. Father, I'm asking for your grace and your mercy to become so powerful and evident in our life that we would understand the true power and majesty of your grace and mercy to us, that it would grip our heart and compel us to obey your command to go. God, would you give us boldness and courage? God, would you give us your love? Would you allow us to see people with those blood-stained eyes, lenses? This is a very sobering command this morning, but also a very powerful command for us, Lord, as a church. Would you lay this burden directly on our hearts? May we not waver in it. May we not be like the people that left in Babylon, where you had to come in and split them up, but rather let us go and be sent out. I thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus, and what he did for us on the cross. Jesus, I thank you for that. And I thank you for sending your Holy Spirit, who will accompany us with these signs and wonders and with the power of our testimony.